Podcasting 2.0 for February 14th, 2025, episode 210, Mothership Node. Hey, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. It is time once again for Podcasting 2.0. We are the future of podcasting. Of course, we'll discuss what's going on right now, and we'll reminisce about what happened in the past. Yes, you are welcome in the boardroom where we bring it all together. And of course, we are the only boardroom with bowls filled with only green M&Ms. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And in Alabama, the man who grinds away at code 18 hours a day. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
The podcastindex.social is I'm spinning here.
You're spinning.
Yeah.
You got the spinning. Is it a beach ball or you're on the Linux?
No. Mastodon. Brave says page unresponsive.
Oh no.
Do you want to wait or exit page?
Exit page.
I'm gonna exit page.
Exit page. Always exit page. It's your browser, man. It's not the system. It's your browser.
No, it's the Mastodons.
You know, I love what I get every month, at least once, sometimes two times. I'll get an email that says, "Why are you blocking me? I can't get your podcast. Why are you blocking me?" And
you have an extensive block list.
Yes, and then I say, "Okay, now do you have any other podcasts that you're having problems with?" Well, first I'll say what app, what phone, what machine, mm-hmm. and I got a podcast app. Okay, all right, okay, that's good.
A podcast app, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, so this usually takes about 5 emails, this process, mm-hmm. and then the next one, are there any other podcasts? Yeah, that James Cridlin blocks me from podcast news, too. I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
IPFS gateway.
And no, I say, are you... guess a good one. I said, have you tried it on Wi-Fi and on cellular? Yeah, both doesn't work. That's my clue. And usually I'll say, have you tried a different network? No matter what I try, doesn't work. You're blocking me. And then here comes the question. Are you using a VPN?
Yes.
Try turning it off. Hey, that worked.
Well, see, this is... But I'm sure that you're leaving out the times where you say, do you use a VPN? And they say, yeah, I already tried that.
Yeah, yeah. You get that one too.
Yeah, because this is the everybody that I've ever hired for help desk in tech support, I tell them on day one, the very first rule of help desk, users lie.
Yes.
They lie to you.
They lie. They do.
If you ask them if they rebooted, they will tell you yes, but they did not.
It's so true.
And you can verify that. So you can verify that.
Yeah, you can see it right there in your console. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, hey, go ahead and reboot. And they're like, oh, I already did that. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting because your uptime here says 12 days. That's a pretty neat magic trick you did. He was like, I don't know. I hit reboot.
I thought I did. I thought, yeah. Sorry, man. Yeah. And the problem is, people say, well, everything else works on a VPN. I said, well, mm-hmm. you might have, because a lot of these VPNs, like I have the Proton. I use the Proton VPN. In the U.S., I think it defaults to a Tor exit node.
Oh, and that's blocked all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, Tor nodes get blocked everywhere. So, like, wait, no.
So they have, that VPN system has, they have regular VPN traffic coming out of the same IP as a Tor node?
I don't think so. I think the majority... The default finds a node that has Tor, I think. It may have been me just resetting it to something else. I don't know. I'm a user. I lie. I'm lying to you, Dave. I like the one. The Proton VPN has a thing that's like, go into hyper, cloak mode. And then, cause it also Ooh. Gives you a map of what node you're connecting to. It's a big map and you see it. Yeah. And so then, you're routed through Switzerland, through their systems, out to another node. And I'm always like,
I don't know if that's a good, I don't feel good about that. I mean, I trust you guys, but do I really? Mm-hmm. Like now I'm routing everything through you, through your super sophisticated node. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I have distrust of VPNs in general.
You know, the whole thing, honestly, is just, the whole thing's a mess. Geolocation.
Laughable.
It mostly, you know, it's reliable for sort of like run of the mill things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like if you just want to say, okay, well, you know, you're in this, you know, general area, it's going to work, you know, 75% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, the VPNs are going to mess it up and all that. I mean, that's just normal. But for the average user on the average day in an average city, it's probably going to work most of the time. Yeah. But the things that you run into are like with here's a thing that happens in the security industry. In cybersecurity, you'll always hear all these statistics, like
also known as DevSec.
DevSec.
DevSec. Yes.
In the world of DevSec, what you'll hear all the time is here's this new critical vulnerability, you know, CVE-2025- blah blah blah, and they'll say, according to our scans, there's 350,000 versions of this software listening on the internet that are vulnerable to this exploit.
Yeah.
They never mention that most of these scans are using places like, you know, Shodan and these vulnerability scanners. Many people block those scanners' IP addresses. And also there's tons of honeypots out there that fake being those things just to attract the traffic so they can analyze the exploits. Those scans are completely useless. They're about as useful as the IAB download metrics. They're roughly equivalent to find out how many listeners.
But are they certified to 2.2? I mean, that's the question.
No.
So my daughter is in this reality show in Europe, which is hilarious. I mean, it's already been
She's
recorded.
She's done that before, right?
Yeah, but this is a new one. It's called Hot Chicks in the Jungle.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
What is it?
Or real chick? Real
got a Dutch title?
Echte meiden in the jungle. So actually it actually translates to real chicks in the jungle, and it's all, you know, young. You know, Christina's 34, so, you know, but she looks super young.
And what a skin scam! That's a total skin scam.
It's fantastic. And so they went to Colombia. And they're literally in the jungle, and there's two teams, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's a whole typical thing. Like, there are two camps. And so the whole, you know, while you have to do all these trials and exercises and competitions, you're either in the luxury camp, which is, you know, you got nice, you know, it's a camp, but it's luxury. You got, you know, you got table, and there's a chef, and you've got nice mosquito netting. Or if you're the losing team at the moment, then you're in the horrible camp.
Like Naked and Afraid or whatever.
Pretty a primitive camp. Yeah. You're in a hammock and they just give you some rice. You have to cook it yourself, and you got headlamps on. And so I wanted to watch it. And she said, well, because it's on Videoland, which is a Dutch streaming service. Mm-hmm. And so she gave me her username and password to log in. And of course, I didn't try anything until I set up a VPN. No matter what I tried, Videoland would pop back. I'm sorry, this program is not available from your location. So either they knew all of the VPNs already, which is possible, you know, for password sharing, which is exactly what we were doing, or somehow it's still new that I'm thinking, does my browser send a location bit or something? Now, I could not get it done.
That's what. What browser were you using?
Brave.
I wonder if I wonder if there's some sort of DRM thing that that Brave.
Oh yeah, might have been. Yeah, but still, it specifically said location, so I was like, maybe I'll try it with Edge, see if that works.
I don't know why they care. That's the thing that's always confused me, is why if you're blocked outside of the U.S. So if you're geo-blocking somebody, and you're in the net, if you're a streaming service in the Netherlands and somebody outside the Netherlands, they're not, I mean, you couldn't go buy a subscription to that, right? I mean,
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't buy the subscription anyway.
Yeah.
So why does it matter if you're coming in over a VPN?
If I could buy a subscription, I would have. I'm the guy that pays for everything. I don't steal any content. Yeah,
they would
content.
Get more money. I just don't. This has never made sense. This has never made sense.
So I'm getting all kinds of calls today. I got Suzanne Santo calling me this morning.
About Spotify Video?
No. She said, oh my God, you talked about the Antones concert on Joe Rogan. Oh, it's so awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good show on Rogan.
Thank you.
I know it's three hours of Rogan has got to be exhausting.
Well, it's been an exhausting week because, well, Monday was, Monday I did a podcast with Jimmy, and then Tuesday I had to get my hair cut, and I've had the same hair person for 15 years. I'm loyal to her, but she's in Austin. So I went to Austin, drove back, you know, total drive time is 3.5, almost 4 hours. Yeah. 3.5 hours.
Is it an hour and a half to Austin for you?
Yeah. It's 80 miles, 80 miles, which is okay. A car drives itself, man. car drives itself. And then went to Austin again the next day. And then, you know, it's like, I was pretty wiped by the time I got home.
I can just tell by the tone of your text.
And then Thursday straight, I got up early, like at 6, because I hadn't really done enough prep for no agenda. So I had to get up early and I'm prepping. So, I mean, boo-hoo, oh, what a life, boo-hoo, I'm a podcaster, it's so hard, it's so horrible. So I also haven't kept up with enough of what's going on. I was able to listen to most of Power, which is good. But the big thing is Fountain now doing LN URL payments.
Yeah, I saw that. That's so you've tested it. I saw you doing some testing.
Yes. And there's a couple of apps doing it. Podcast Guru does it. And there's another one floating out there. It's a little confusing because I'm also getting payments from some Noster experiment Stephen B. still had up. But with Fountain, what I kind of like is I get the boost message or a truncated version of the boost message and a URL, and you hit the URL and it goes to a web page, a fountain.fm web page, which shows me what I would see in the screen on the app. And you can actually open it in the app from that screen if you want. So you can immediately kind of not just see my boost message, but if there was any other boost message there. Is an interesting way of doing it. And I don't have to go to Noster, which I'm just happy about. I have no problem with Noster, but I just want to go to a web page and just see it. So that's working. And then I think Podcast Guru is sending as much of the boost message as possible. Let me see what I have here. I have the, let me just open it up for a second. Now, of course, I'm receiving all of this on Strike. And I'm also getting streaming payments on Strike, which is not necessarily the thing you want because there's no... So, okay, I'm getting Pay Adam Curry. I'm getting one sat, but I don't know where that's coming from. And then I got one, see, Comics for Blogger, and it looks like... I don't know. I thought he boosted on Fountain, but this looks like it's coming... There's no link like I saw from...
it looks like a Fountain screenshot.
Yeah. Let me see. What I get from Podcast Guru is, so you have to scroll through all these one sat streaming payments, which I can't limit in my view, of course. Still exciting. Jeez, that's a lot of streaming sats I've received. Holy crap. Can I sort this? No, I can't sort this.
You're going to get a 1099-B.
Here it is.
No, it's Fountain. Yeah, he's sending from Fountain.
Here, testing the new stuff, and then it has a link to Fountain. So that's what I think. Yeah, I sent that to myself, and let me just open that up in the browser, and there it goes to a Fountain page with the boost. Yeah, okay. So I'm not sure. Oh, and he did send it because it's right above my boost on on that page is his, but I didn't get a link from his Boost. Maybe he's using an older version of the app. Possibly.
Ooh. Oh, maybe he's, he responded and said yes, he did Boost from Fountain app. I'll ask him.
Well, regardless, it's working and it's cool. Yeah. Now, of course, none of this has the TLV record payment information. So it's, you know, these payments are not flowing into, I mean, I have a, obviously have a 1% split into Helipad. So I get everything there, but it's working. That's the main point. We need to refine and maybe we can come to some agreement on stuff. There we go. Thank you, Sam. Castomatic and Podcast Guru are both testing LNURLP, says. True Fans has supported it from day one.
Of course, we would expect nothing less.
He doesn't say that. True Fans supported as a test for Fountain Radio. We are waiting for Fountain to implement any changes before we roll it out for all podcasts on True Fans. Yeah. Okay, cool. So,
right. The TLV stuff is just the, you know, that's the last hurdle.
Yeah.
Of getting us over the hump. And we've got, I'm cool with just letting people try different stuff. I mean,
me too. That's why I say it's like whatever happens. I mean, the payments are coming in. That's the number one thing.
Right.
I really love that. And I did talk about value for value on Rogan. I got some in there.
I heard that. Yeah. I heard a little bit of that. It was a good appearance. I mean, I think, It's nice when you're all are on there because it's like you just picked up where you left off last time.
Kind of, yeah. Hey, with my team, you know? Yeah. What else?
Yeah, right. And you just like pick up and just keep going. You know? Like it's the same conversation with like a 4 month pause.
Yeah. You know? But I tell you, man, Rogan. He's at the club Monday, and then Tuesday he does a set Tuesdays, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I think he does 4. Four episodes, 4 interviews a week. And then he still has his UFC stuff. And man, that guy's working.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. And I'm tired after talking to him for 3 hours. I'm like, huh.
What kind of prep do you think he does? Do you think he goes in cold on interviews?
No. I know that he listens to a lot of books while he's working out because I've asked him about this specifically. He may have listened to some of No Agenda beforehand, but probably not because he knows me. Recurring guests, I'm pretty sure, you know, he knows what they're about. But new guests, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure if someone has a book or has published something, he'll read it or he'll listen to it on an audio book. And if you notice, you know, Joe talks a lot too.
Yeah, yeah.
So
his interview, I don't really listen to him. Like, he's just not on my... Right. It's just, I don't really have time for a 3 hour show. And, you know, in addition to all the other stuff listening to,
no,
it's just very too hard. Much. Yeah. And, but like, so I never really listen to him unless you're on or there's somebody who really piques my interest.
What I found fascinating is I can almost tell, I can always tell. Let me see if I can position this right. If someone just sends me an email about an appearance on Rogan, I know if they listened to it or if they watched it. It's really, because if you go to like YouTube and you see the comments, the people who are like, "You're full of crap," they're not listening. The video detracts so much from what is actually being said. Now, of course, people always want to hear what they want to hear. But the people who are listening to it and say, "I heard," instead of "I saw," have a much better cognition of what was actually said. It's astounding.
So how do you quantify that? I mean,
because people...
Can you, or is it just a feeling you have?
It's really by what they say, you know, and so they'll say, you are, okay, so I talk, Joe starts and says, "So what do you think of shit coins?" And, you know, and so I roll into why I think they're no good and big, and he, and actually for the first time, I think ever, and people who are watching didn't pick this up, people who are listening did, is Joe said, "No, I believe in Bitcoin. I'm all in on Bitcoin." And then I went on to talk about what I think is happening with stable coins and you know, where the US dollar is in this, you know, Triffin dilemma and all these other things. What are we drinking, Dave?
Oh, gee whiz, man. You got ears like a freaking, you know, whatever here's good dog. LaCroix Pure. I'm back to the old standby.
LaCroix Pure. Nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can hear, you know, so when I you'll see the comments like, I can't believe Curry is talking about shit coins that they're good and stable coin is the way. I said exactly the opposite.
You're right. That's
exactly
not what you would say.
The opposite. Yeah. But people who are listening to, and I noticed that myself too, is when I'm listening, I mean, it's just, you may make money on Spotify if you can catch the wave with video, but man, I really want people to hear what I have to say and not, you know, and not be distracted by watching, particularly me. I don't think it's interesting to watch me. So
I find it hard to listen and absorb. Like you have to be in a mindset. Like, how do I say this? So I've been reading this audio book, or I say reading, whatever, listening. I've been listening to a new, hey, what are you drinking?
Ah, show beer. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
PBR, baby.
PBR all the way.
Schlitz. Yeah.
Schlitz.
So I think I started this new book. It's called A Secular Age by this Canadian philosopher named Charles Taylor. Now, if you can handle this sort of work, I highly, highly recommend this book. You know, I mean, some people are just not going to be interested in this type of work. I mean, like, I would say that probably the greatest three books I've ever read on just sociology I like this sort of like convergence of sociology and philosophy. I find sort of exploratory philosophy, or what you might call like...
you are a fascinating man, Dave Jones.
In math, you might call it like theoretical physics, you know, or something like that. Well, there's a version of that in philosophy and you might want to call it like a research philosophy or exploratory philosophy, where it's almost like a peer-reviewed study that nobody really is ever going to care about. I find that stuff just horrible. Mm. Like, I'm not interested in it in any way. I just don't. And I'm not even really that keen on the history of philosophy. I have trouble just remembering a bunch of like, well, this guy said this and this, you know, mm-hmm. this person said this mm-hmm. and this, blah, like, I, like, because it's all just a bunch of memorization that doesn't really apply to anything. But I find the convergence of philosophy and sociology to be fascinating. And my three greatest hits on that is Jacques Ellul's Technological Society.
That's a good one. That's one I've read.
Jacques Ellul's Propaganda.
That one I've also read.
Yes. And A Secular Age by Charles Taylor.
No, I pass. Hard pass on that.
Now, this is probably 900 pages. It's a big one. And it's considered his sort of master, you know, work. Mm-hmm. But I found with this book is just like, it's just like trying to read Technological Society. You have to pay attention to this book.
Yeah.
If you don't, 15 minutes will pass and you'll remember nothing that you just heard. And so like you have to consciously bring your attention to the words that are being said to you. And even then, even with no distraction and a conscious will to listen to the words.
It's hard.
It's still, you have to back it up sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to listen to the same section three or four times in a row to really understand what's being said. If you care to understand what's being said, and that's with no visual distraction whatsoever. Like, I can't imagine trying to get meaningful content from a video. Like, I don't know how you can do it.
It's not there. It's not there.
Your brain, when you're watching a video, your brain just doesn't, that's not what it's for, you know?
Imagine what TikTok is doing to people's brains.
Oh, I don't even want to know.
Just like overstimulate. And yeah. Who knows what's going through?
Well, that, you know, this is a thing that, if you boiled down Jacques Ellul's propaganda, if you boiled it down into a few different just bullet points, mm-hmm. one of the main points that he makes very early in the work is this. Propaganda is not about convincing people of things. Effective propaganda does not care about convincing the other side of your position. Propaganda is about getting people to act. Mm. It's about provoking action. And he goes so far as to say,
like almost smashing that like button.
Yes. he goes that far. He says, if you are trying to do propaganda and you are in the process coming up with arguments, you've already failed at propaganda. You're absolutely. Not doing it right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's to me, that's what all those, you know, video platforms, TikTok and Instagram reels and all that. It's just action. Do a thing.
And the other thing, and so there's downsides, you know, I've always been against listening at 1.5 or 2 times speed, mm-hmm. saying that it probably will ruin your real life relationships because, you know, you're listening to podcasts fast, all they talk like this, and then you come home and your wife and kids are like, you're like, hurry up, spit it out, kid. What do you want to say to me?
Yeah, they're boring.
When you get very home after boring. That, yeah. I got this cool note from this dude the other day. Uh-huh. And he said, I wanted to tell you I had circular hair loss in my neck. I had a huge hole in my beard and everyone was telling me it had to be stress. Then I remembered what? That episode where you said that listening at 1.5x is really bad. I was doing exactly that because some douche on another podcast suggested I do it. And as I'm notoriously dozens of episodes behind, I thought I could catch up. So I stopped speed listening, went back to normal. After a couple of months, my beard grew back.
No way.
Another life saved or created. Yes.
You fixed the hole in his neck.
I did. It's awesome.
James listens to our show at like 12x or something.
James has ridiculous. He has no body hair.
It's like a Mexican hairless. Yes.
Yeah. Just saying, people.
Well, besides James Propecia, we can talk about
alopecia. This. It's alopecia.
What is propecia?
I don't know. You don't want either one. I don't want it.
I got to find out if that's even a propecia.
No, propecia is, isn't that skin rash, skin irritation?
Propecia is a brand name for the generic drug finasteride, which is a prescription oral taken daily to slow down hair loss. Okay. Oh, so it's the opposite of alopecia. Okay. I got you.
Oh, it's a drug. That's propaganda right there. Propecia.
Problem. Was it problem?
Reaction solution?
Solution. Yeah, there you go.
But heliganistic.
I'm going to break from form here and read a PayPal donation right now.
Wow. This is a format change. We're breaking format. We're calling an audible, everybody.
Yeah. And this is from, Archie, SUCD in the chat room, in the podcast index social. Good guy. He sent us 1701, a Star Trek boost, and $17.01. And he says, can you dive deeper into the vision for a distributed podcast index? focusing on the high-level benefits, ignoring the technical implementation.
Oh.
How will this improve the podcasting ecosystem, and what advantages does decentralization offer?
Can I give a high-level answer before you dive Please. In? My high-level answer is, we want Dave to go back to a normal life, not have to deal with all this crap anymore. Just make it work in the space. Just make it work in the space. That's the high-level answer right there.
The high level is make it work in the space.
Yeah, we've always wanted us to go away.
That's a funny. I want myself to go away.
Yes, we'll be successful. We'll know we're successful when we're no longer needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And okay, well, how much you got on your list to talk about?
The only thing is I have on my list are chaptervising.
Chaptervising.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the new media show. And Todd has asked me to go on the new media show, so I need to go back on his show.
Okay.
to talk about audio instead of video. Mm-hmm. I got to bring that show back to its roots.
Yeah, bring him back off from the precipice.
So we were talking about firing off an image in a chapter marker that could be tracked for advertising, which I'm all for, by the way. Chaptervising. Yeah, I'm calling it chaptervising. Is it chapter? What do you think? Does that not sound right?
Chaptertizing. It's advertising. So it'd be chaptertizing.
Chaptertizing? I need to see. Let me see. Chaptertizing. I'm not sure.
Propecia.
We'll just call it Propecia. I think it's particularly because it was, I forget who it was, but it was someone who's in the podcast industrial complex, like, this is really cool. And I'm all for it. If we can get chapters and people using chapters, and you can obviously anonymize the IP addresses a lot. I mean, it's really, it only has to go to the podcaster. You know, it's not like it's going to some grotesque company per se, but it could.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about it. And, you know, because I kind of like, oh, that's a very cool idea, but, you know, you really need all these apps to do it and everyone has to jump in on it. And Todd made a good point. He said, you don't. Advertising is always based on, is often based on a sample. So if you can get a sample size and, you know, of this many people who use this particular podcast app, that understands chapters, you can make a case towards your advertiser that's X amount of people heard this ad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was exciting. I mean, not for me. I like my chapters just for exactly what we use them for. Dreb makes all of my chapters. It's great. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Dreb could actually be firing off Nike ads. I don't even know what he's doing sometimes. But
this sounds like this is help seeking behavior is what this is by the advertising industry.
But it's interesting. You know, you can have a call to action, like, you know, go to the click on the image, you know, click on the link in the chapter and get more information. And I guess I'm just saying podcast industrial complex. I mean, it's just a shout out. Hold on a second.
Attention, attention, podcast industrial complex. Here comes a message. Incoming message for you.
Boop.
And the message is, get going already. Evangelize this stuff. Show people how it could work. It would solve a huge problem in your industry, and we don't have to use it. You know, I mean, it's, images are already trackable. It's not like anyone has a problem with it. Anonymize it. Do whatever you have to do, but get on already. Get going with it. Get the hosts involved. Do something.
End of message.
Well, I don't know.
Chad F. That's not true. Not everybody hates Boost in their chapters. It's not true.
I don't hate it.
I've never hated it. I believe they shouldn't be in the table of contents, which we changed. We change it so Boosts don't show up in the table of contents, but it's not true like all people hated it. Don't make blanket statements like that, Chad F.
I'm ambivalent. I really don't.
I want to help everybody. Yeah, you know, and they seem to have all kinds of problems.
So. If I if it if somebody was tracking me that way with ads, I mean, I wouldn't really care.
No,
I don't think it would bother me. I mean, I wouldn't like it or dislike it. I just don't care. I really
no, hey, it's podcasting 2.0. And if we can solve a problem for the podcast industrial complex, I'm happy to do it, but they have to step up. Yeah, I'm not going to evangelize for your fix. You've got to step up and you've got to do it. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, it's here. If you want to do it, I'm a value for value guy. And boy, am I happy I'm a value for value guy. Oh, boy, am I happy. I love being a value for value guy.
Well, the index thing, so that's kind of where my head's been at, is the decentralization thing.
Good, let's go.
And it's powering a lot of other stuff that's going on in sort of like in my head. So I guess to answer Archie's question, we're going to have to talk tech a little bit. I mean, the overall,
let me slip into something more comfortable then.
Oh, please.
You know, what's really hot? Open source. Send your pull request now.
All right.
I forgot about that one. Pulled that one out of the box.
The Podfather never forgets.
it did not. Oh, I was thinking math, and then she went open source.
No, open source, baby. Yeah.
How do I start high here?
Begin the begin.
A secular age. This book. The concept behind this book, and I'm going to bring this around. The concept behind this book is very interesting. How did we get from the year 1500, where the West, the Western mind, assumed spirituality, assumed that was just the default position? The world is a spiritual place. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily live in a universe; we live in a cosmos. To the year 2000, where at worst, spirituality was just one choice amongst many different options at the buffet.
This is a deep question.
You know, and it's important to know he's not sort of visualizing this dichotomy where there's like this medieval mind that believed in God and a modern mind that's atheist. It's not about that. It's much more subtle. It's a lot more subtle. The real question is how do we get sort of this? I'm going to use a big phrase. How do we get this sort of subtractive poiesis where you have a world in which, like, where you have a, I'm having trouble putting this into words. How do you have this poiesis where a world in which power and will can exist in things that are not human? Okay. For instance, relics. Okay. A holy relic might have power in and of itself. Okay, this power exists independently of humanity or something that you believe that these things can have an effect on you and the universe around you, and demons and ceremonial actions such as communion or extreme unction. These things that are like you can manifest power through these sort of ritualistic endeavors. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a world where this is a universe that you live in, where will and power and action can come from else can exist independent of humans. How do we get from there to the modern frame of mind where those things are just don't cross our mind very often? Like, you can go further and say, like, you can go even further and say, we're actually now entertained by those things like we go into like scary movies about demons and stuff.
Well, how about this? I'm just going to interject a little bit from time to time. First of all,
what was that? What boing?
It's just my brain. That was my brain popping. When our eyes are accustomed to seeing magic all day long, when our ears are accustomed to hearing magic all day long, then you cease to see the magic of the universe. So if you're, if television is magic,
interesting. Okay.
It's magic. I mean, I saw it right now on YouTube TV, there's two rabbits in the snow. It's like, they're there, they're in my house. You know, we take that for granted now, but I would say that has a lot to do with it.
That's pretty, yeah, that's pretty interesting. That's sort of like, yeah. Okay. Well, he frames it in two different selves is what he calls it. He has what he calls the porous self and the buffered self. And the way the porous self is the ego that lives in a cosmos, in a universe where things happen to you. Okay, the spiritual things are they exist independent of you, and they can affect you. They can interfere with your life in some way. Versus the buffered self, the modern self, where we feel like we are the cause of all actions. We're the initiators. We're the prime mover of the things that happen in this world. There's no thing that can just enter into us without our, you know, without some other human acting. And so he defines it. He says the buffered self is the agent who no longer fears demons, spirits, or magic forces. Okay, so the reason I'm bringing this up is that this is a very difficult. The more subtle a thing is, the harder it is to sort of keep in your head. And I think we have to look at the endeavor that we are doing with the Podcast Index in the same way.
Okay.
You can compare this to an easier to understand example would be the 17th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The 17th Amendment changed the way senators are elected
right
to Congress. Used to, the state legislature of each state elected the two senators that went to the Senate. Then in
It was accepted into the Constitution in 1913.
Okay, all right, 1913. The 17th Amendment changed that to where now senators are by popular vote. So now the people of each state elect the senators.
Direct vote.
Now this is the 17th Amendment is completely lost to most people, to the American mind. Nobody ever thinks about this amendment. It seems completely innocuous. It's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. But it was a critical change. The Constitution was set up in such a way that no entity would ever be trusted over and above another entity. So they were all placed in direct opposition to one another, even the people. Mm-hmm. So the people, you know, you have the president versus Congress, the Congress versus the judiciary, mm-hmm. the federal versus the states. The state versus its own people, the people versus the people by virtue of the House of Representatives versus the state by virtue of the Senate. So you have the whole idea of the American system is you have to have opposing centers of power at every single step, because you can't ever trust anyone with too much power. The mob, the people don't get special privilege. They can do bad stuff too. You know, if somehow you got 51% of people in your state to vote that, you know, child abuse was okay, well, that's not cool either. So, you know, the people don't get this special, you know, power that everybody that overrides every single other thing.
Can I just stop you for 1 second?
Yeah, sure.
This is how genius and well thought out computer code is written. From this type of thinking, eat my shorts, AI.
You just scoop up GitHub and just spit that crap out.
That's right. All right. Sorry.
No, that's all right. But like it seems. So this idea. So this is again another situation where the modern mind doesn't understand what the mind of 1830 had for an American. Like we don't get it. It's lost.
It's also not taught, and there's a lot of issues there. But yeah,
we don't think like the idea that the state itself would have a voice that's different from the people. That's just a completely foreign concept. Mm. And so, like going through all of, you know, we look at the 17th Amendment and we don't even understand why it was any other way to begin with.
Right,
is what I'm trying to say. So what Charles Taylor's trying to say in his book is that every social movement has within itself the seeds of its own reversal. Mm. And that's true of it. That's true of everything. And he goes step by step and shows how the Protestant Reformation is the single biggest reason why we have the modern non-spiritual mind today. Mm. It was a complete reversal of what they thought was going to happen. And you can go further and say that it's really only that thing which can produce its opposite. In some unique way, the Protestant Reformation created the non-religiousness of the modern day. And so, and only in a way that only it could. And it's important that I think we have to humble ourselves on when we get into technological solutions, especially with standards bodies, with trying to propose.
Amen, sort of, brother. Amen. You're preaching now.
Yeah. I mean, because if we're not careful, we will do the exact opposite of what we intend.
Yes.
We will think we're solving problems, and what we're doing is creating
a bigger problem down the line.
Right. We're seeding the destruction of the thing we're trying to fix. And so so when it comes to the decentralization question, you know, number one, podcast directories are really important. I kind of didn't realize how important they were until we started building Godcaster.
Yeah.
And podcast directories, whether it's Apple or us, they serve a critical role in the podcast ecosystem. And you just like, if you don't exist in a podcast directory, you're just not going to be found.
Right.
Before you say, well, Google, you know, you can just Google for it. Well, that just moves the problem up one layer. I mean, you're not really solving, you know, because Google's the same thing. There's always been this uncomfortable tension between decentralization and findability. Mm-hmm. That's why phone books existed, mm-hmm. you know, because they fixed this problem of nobody could figure out anybody's phone number because it's a secret number that only you know. A URL is just a secret number that only you know, and you got to be able to tell everybody what it is. You know, in the cell phone age, people traded numbers offline.
Well, even worse, I would say that humanity has gone from understanding, and I'll just use humanity, has gone from understanding your RSS feed is your home to, well, I just better upload everywhere, which is kind of worse.
It is worse. Yeah, it is worse because now you have multiple points of centralization. You have this, like, you know, multiple claims of authority.
Yeah, claim of authority. That's right.
And so what's interesting is in the cell phone era, we don't really have phone books anymore. And people just trade their numbers amongst themselves. Like, I want you to know how to get in touch with me, so I give you my number. And we've sort of gotten away. There's really no central place to go and find anybody's phone number anymore.
Well, unfortunately, our information has been sucked out of our phone so often that you can find my phone number, my previous phone number, my current address, everything except my social security number. And even that's probably readily available anywhere online, but that's a detail.
Yeah, but those are like doc sites that you got to pay for and stuff. I mean, like most people don't use those. I mean, that's, you gotta be kind of creepy to even use those.
You have no idea how many pieces of U.S. postal mail I get. People saying, hope you don't mind. I just looked up your address.
Did you ever used to get spammed in the physical mail from your ICANN registrations back in the day?
I mean, I get spam from some other outfit that says, this is about this domain is about to. Let me see if I can find who it is. This domain's about to expire. ICANN ERRP. It's from noreply@expirationwarning.net. And it says, according to our records, you know, it's about, and then there's a link, and then, you can just transfer it to our service. It'll be much better.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yes, but I used to get paper from ICANN. I did, sure.
That Bimrose is saying that's not true. I'm in hundreds of scammers' databases. I'm not saying that you don't exist in a database. What I'm saying is, we all used to get the phone book and we could look up each other's numbers. Like, that's not a thing anymore. If correct. I want to go find Bimrose's number, I'm either going to go to a doxing site and pay $20 and try to figure it out.
Right.
Or I'm just not going to get it. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I'm saying is that
there's no phone like book. Google. There's no phone book.
There's no phone book. And so this is sort of where we're at with the podcast directories. I feel that we can decentralize in a way like cell phones have, where everything becomes diffuse. And the idea that we're working with, and I say we because I'm bouncing this stuff off of Alex a lot. Because he's kind of, we've talked about so much. Alex and I have talked about so much sort of decentralization tech that we can kind of like immediately know where each other's going. So it's a quick iteration step with him. So we've been experimenting with some, you know, with Eero, which is what I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Let me throw this in the boardroom. There's a good YouTube video. Let's see. There's a good YouTube video. What is this thing doing? Copy link. Paste. Yeah, there we go. All right, so there's a good YouTube video about Kademlia.
I'll put this in the show notes too.
And so this is a, you know, distributed hash table. I'm not going to get into distributed hash table stuff because you can just watch the video. It's very easy to follow. It's probably the best explanation of DHTs I've ever seen. And it makes it very easy to understand how these things work. The video uses like some, you know, well whatever. We'll leave that be. But it's a really good overview. And that's sort of, this is where I'm thinking about going with the index, and that's what I've already begun to build some test stuff with.
Sexy.
So here's the initial sketch. We build out a peer-to-peer hole punching package. So you would join a gossip, sort of peer-to-peer gossip mesh. Okay, you would download this software from us.
Was it hole punching what?
I'm just saying it's like a mesh, you know, where it's peer-to-peer mm-hmm. mesh where you're like, it does like NAT traversal to, you know, so we can set up a peer-to-peer okay. link through a NAT.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the idea is you would download this software from us and run it. And then it would wait for you to plug in a ticket. And so the ticket is this offline thing. It's like, it's equivalent to me giving you my phone number. Now you can find the topic to join and you begin to get the gossip messages. Then, so there's going to be sort of a master or main node, which would be the index. Okay. Initially, and now just, you know, don't jump too far ahead because this is all just the initial work here.
Okay.
Initially there would be a master node that's holding the database. Okay. And this is think of what I'm describing here as sort of phase one. There's a master node holding the database and a node joins the gossip topic and says, "Hey, I'm a node and I'm ready to do some work. Give me some feeds." The index grabs a slice of the database, let's say 10,000 feeds. That it hands 10,000 feeds to this node that just joined, and the node begins to aggregate those feeds. So it becomes its own independent aggregator. It no longer needs the index.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's going to exist independently. It can function off by itself. And it's just going to start churning through these feeds, looking for changes. It's going to every now and then ping the topic. And when I say ping the topic, I mean everybody sees this ping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There might be, let's say there's 500 nodes. The 500 nodes in the that are all paying attention to this topic, they are all heart beating, which means they're pinging, saying, "I'm still here. I'm still doing some work. I'm doing this." Whenever a certain time limit passes and the node doesn't get sent a heartbeat, the index takes that work that it assigned, it takes it back and says, "Okay, this node has gone away. So we're going to take this work away and wait for someone else to be ready for some work, and then we'll give that to them."
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, you could split up, you could sort of shard the database amongst a whole bunch of different nodes, and they could all act as independent aggregators. And when they find something new, they can ping the topic and say, "Hey, I found a hash change. So this feed changed."
Mm-hmm.
And so the index would know to go and repull that feed. So you can think of it sort of like a blue collar pod ping in that way. You know, this is not so. And again, this is not all the pod ping hosts, Buzzsprout, you know, Spreaker, that Blueberry, they're RSS.com. They're not going to need this. This is only for this humongous chunk of like, diverse feeds coming from all over the place that don't do pod ping. And so of that, let's say there's 2 million, 2.5 million in the index that do that. We can slice up the index, assign it to, you know, a couple hundred nodes, and we really can start churning through these things. You know, we got to be careful. We got to do it slow enough to where we don't DDoS, but we can really start churning through these feeds and come up with sort of a distributed aggregation system where the index doesn't have to do all the work itself, but it's tracking the signals coming back from these nodes saying, "Okay, I found something."
So they're really doing the aggregation, And discovery and aggregation?
Initially, yes.
Okay.
So we start with aggregation, distributed, decentralized aggregation. That's where we start. And I think you can see the next step, like phase two, would be, okay, we're all in this same topic together. The index is sort of acting like a manager here, acting like the centralized.
Yeah, master node. I think since President Trump was elected, you can use the term master node again. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, somebody said mother node.
How about mothership? Well, come on, let's
mothership.
The mothership.
So the index initially is acting like the mothership, but you could see that other nodes could join and become an index.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you could say, well, now we've got, and to use a sysadmin term, now we have active-active, you know, instead of just active and a bunch of passives. Mm-hmm. So now we can have multiple people that are tracking if they're following Podping and they're following the distributed aggregation topic, they can really just be an index.
Now here's a question. How does it work in the reverse for moderation, such as my feed changed? Can you change this in the index? My feed, you know, I need an episode is deleted, need to refresh.
I think it's going to, by necessity, be the same way that Mastodon functions, whereas you can throw this delete sort of thing out there.
Yeah.
And then it's up to everybody else whether to honor it or not.
Okay.
You know, Archie's saying it's at least a split brain. Well, sure. Yeah, it does. I mean, you can have certain things and, you know, but the split brain problem is I'm less worried about it in this setup than I would be if, honestly, in something that's truly like a slaved database setup. You know, because you everything's fine, and then you find out one day that your slave SQL server has drifted from the master, but, you know, for the last mm-hmm. 3 weeks, mm-hmm. and then you're like, oh, crap. I mean, this is like, it's up to everybody. It's up to everybody else to pay attention.
So I'm in my adversarial mode. Mm-hmm. So now I want to hijack the Joe Rogan feed, and I want to tell everybody, no, this is the new feed for Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. Some people will accept that, and others will look at it and go, no, that's not right. So does it come down to the mothership to make that determination?
There's a couple of things I think we would have to do. Number one, we would have to have some facility to where, you would have to, in order to join the topic,
you have to pass initiation tests with Adam and Dave.
in a funny way, yeah. Like, you know, because that's kind of what we do now with Podping. For Podping, if you want to join, if you want to send Podpings to podping.cloud, you have to ask them for a key.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And there's a little bit of a vetting process that goes through there, you know. Eric mentioned a proof of work, and Alex has mentioned that too, a proof of work. That could be, you know, because there could be a sort of side chain here that I'm just spitballing. We're not there
yet.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Sort of side chain that feeds back into this thing where you can read it back in. So you have so I guess what I'm saying is you have Podping, which always serves the purpose that it's designed for. But we have to be realistic that there's going to be this certain section of feeds that are just never going to Podping. And it's not going to be a small chunk. And that thing needs, its own sort of net to catch with. And if you catch those feeds and you combine it with Podping, you can build an index of yourself. Now, let's say you pass the test, you get a ticket to join the topic, and you know, we sign your joining ticket, you join the topic, and you say, okay, your node announces that it's been that it's elevating itself to be sort of an authoritative node. Like we give you that signing authority. We sign your ticket in a way where you're allowed to do that. And you say, okay, you know, Dave sent me a signed ticket because I'm RSS.com and, you know, I'm highly trusted and I'm going to run an index node. Well, we would have to have some facility where if RSS.com is worried that their index node has drifted, they could ping the topic and say, you know, hey, can I get an update? Can we sync? Because I'm worried that my feed URLs for this section, maybe this section, are off. And so we could all have a sync function that makes sure that we're all mm-hmm. serving the same data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it would just have to be like that. I think there would have to just be certain people. You know, everybody could follow. Everybody could. It's sort of like folding at home, that old node software. Do you remember that stuff where you had the protein folding thing on? You could download it and run it on your computer.
No, I had search for extraterrestrial intelligence. I had the SETI.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. So initially, anybody could join that and say, "Hey, I want to do some that node aggregation. I'm going to help you do some feed aggregation," and that would be just a workhorse activity that anybody could run on their machine. But if you want to go above that and have the ability to act as an actual authoritative index node, meaning we could also forward HTTP calls to you from the API, then you have to be vetted, you know.
It would, you know, it's interesting because if it were very similar to what SETI was, it'd be very exciting because SETI was a bummer. You know, you just your computer was just running and nothing ever happened. You never got an attaboy. you never got any like, hey, you know, you did something cool. It's just like, oh, you sent off some blocks. You know, if you tell me that, hey, I aggregated so many feeds and I sent this much into DHT, I'll feel good about it. Sure.
Well, Bim Rose says, we give you that authority. This sounds less and less decentralized by the moment. But remember, but it's not decentralized because I said we. Okay, initially it's me because we're bootstrapping it, but the we is the community that's going to participate in this thing.
And then you'll have these copies of the index, basically. Then if you don't like it, you know, I don't trust these guys. I'm going to go and sit on this node.
I see it as very similar to the way the PKI works now, the public key infrastructure. There's the CAB, the Certificate Authority Group, or whatever they're called, the CAB Alliance. And the...
You mean the guys who are really spying on us?
Yeah.
You know, CERT authorities?
they invest authority in each other as a group, and they police each other as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have a future time where... we're running an index node, RSS.com's running an index node, Buzzsprout, Blueberry, let's say we have seven of them, seven big ones. Okay. If somebody else comes in and wants to run an index node, let's say that Pocket Cast wants to, well then if 6 months down the line, you know, like we would all as a group say, yeah, this is, we trust this person. Let's do, you know, let's give them a key. Then 6 months down the line, their index node is just serving crap data all the time. you know, as a group, everyone can decide that this is, you know, we need to take them out of the pool of serving API data. So, I mean, there has to, you can't trust the internet.
What?
I mean, wait, you know, you cannot trust the internet to just like give you, you know, wonderful things all the time. There has to be humans making decisions at some turn, but I don't want it to just be me. I want it to be a group of people that have proven to be trustworthy. And that includes anyone who's willing to take on that responsibility. And so decentralizing doesn't mean, you know, like it doesn't mean deauthorizing. It just means, it means spreading the authorization for this stuff through a larger number of people so that there's no single point of trust where everybody has to think Dave's the good guy, you know, or whatever. Cause I mean, James may want to run part of a node, you know, part of the index. Mm-hmm. Like James may be interested in running all of the index
down
shows
under.
That are
down under
Australia. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Out of Australia. So,
which funny enough,
run that section.
Funny enough is how the initial iPodder worked, if you remember. Mm-hmm. We had the world outline, OPML world outline.
Totally. Yeah, for
and
sure.
I had the top node and I pasted in all these. It was done by geography. And there was someone who was running the Holland node. And then that person delegated the sub nodes to that to someone who was doing science, someone was doing tech, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it worked really well. I mean, the technology wasn't spiffy, but the concept worked really well.
And that was a decentralized directory.
Totally.
You know, and but you had to initially. Now, I'm not saying we can never get to a point where it's completely automated, but initially, at least to get down the road of where we want to go,
I like it.
You know, we have to take the steps to make sure that we're not just going to, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot. And I don't want to build another, you know, proof of work blockchain sort of bit. I don't want to have to reinvent Bitcoin to get some sort of like deauthoritative, you know, like, because it's hard enough just to build this stuff. We can do that later. You know, because what's going to be required is going to be the peer-to-peer stuff on top of the aggregator, which I started building yesterday, the new aggregators, because now every node has to be able to aggregate. So it has, you know, there's going to have to be a new, all the peer-to-peer stuff and a new aggregator and a parser and a local database. I mean, this is going to be a lot of work. So we can initially just sign tickets ourselves to let people do stuff. And then later we can, you know, we can layer on something that will maybe do it in a more, you know, zero trust model.
Well, Dave, I got 5 gigabits of fiber. I got a start 9 and an umbrella. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to roll. We're going to melt that umbrella.
Your hill country node is geared up and ready.
Yeah. I mean, like I would love to forward API calls to, you know, for a no agendas section of the index to hill country.
Sure. .com.
You know,
yeah.
You know,
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Wow. You want to play a song to cleanse our palate?
Go. Oh, yes, please. And I gotta pee.
Okay. Well, you can pee, but you only have 2 minutes and 44 seconds because it's a short song. I've been a little bit out of the loop and I went to see what was in the podcast index.top. I see the Dorfels have released a new song this month and a song last month, and I want to play one of them. This is Now I Know from the Dorfelverse.
You know you're getting older when you feel like a kid, and your eyes are so tired and there's hair on your chin. Mom always said be young while you can, now I know what she meant. I always wanted to grow up fast, skip out of school, pack up my bags. Dad always said you'll get your chance, now I know, oh no. Now I know, oh no. I just wanted to be a man. I couldn't stop thinking about what I
past. Now I know everything I wanted, I already had. Now I know.
To be the guy to call when it's 4 in the morning, then spend the night asleep, cause they're not your problem. No, now I know. I just wanted to be a man. I couldn't stop thinking about what I didn't have. I wouldn't let the memories live while they pass. Now I know everything I wanted, I already have. Every day I wake up and I try to be honest, but honestly it's hard when the future's not promised. But mom always said, don't you worry about tomorrow. Now I know, now I know. Just wanted to be a man. I couldn't stop thinking about what I didn't have. I wouldn't let the memories live while they pass. Now I know everything I wanted, I already had. I just wanted to be a man. I couldn't stop thinking about what I didn't have. I wouldn't let the memories live while they pass. Now I know everything I wanted, I already had.
Dorfels, Now I Know on Podcasting 2.0. Thanks for not boosting, everybody. Appreciate it. And go back. You can rewind and you can boost. Boost them. Boost those Dorfels. Looking at the time, you want to thank some people. Mm-hmm. That was good, by the way. And our first live boost that I have to read actually pertains to it.
Oh, okay.
From Cole McCormick. 1111. Dave Jones is lighting up the world right now, connecting philosophical, spiritual truths and podcasting. That's so my vibe. I need a whole new podcast where Dave dives deep into these topics. Truly incredible line of thought from the pod sage. Godspeed, gentlemen, and go podcasting.
Yeah,
good podcast. Go. Thank you, Chad F3333 for the Dorfels. D's laughs with 111 boosting for more boost to grand ball. How many sats to get my record play? Bribing DJs and sats is the new way forward. I agree. Hit me up with your Bitcoin, bro. Full Bitcoin. Make Canada America. Go podcast.
Who said that?
D's laughs. He's a Canadian.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. The Canadians want it. They want to be a part of they want to be the 51st state. Thank you, Dave Jones, for the propaganda breakdown and reading lists. We have 11,600 from anonymous podcast guru user. There's that guy again. Your vape box popping sound was audible during your Joe Rogan podcast. At least your other shows, you don't hear the actual sucking in of the air like it did on Rogan. This is true. That's because I have a noise gate. And sometimes the pop, I always try to move away from the gate, just from the mic when I vape. But sometimes the popping is just too loud. Yeah. Darren O, wow, 21,425 sats. Valentine's Day's boost. Listen to Planet Rage, planetrage.show. Thank you. There's our 777 from Sam, which I read earlier. And we have, hit the delimiter.
Let's see. We got a good PayPal week.
Nice.
Yes. Let me say one more thing real quick. On the importance of directories, Apple, that's the reason Apple owned podcasting.
Is because of their open API on the directory.
Is because they had the directory. And we'll never solve that problem until we solve this problem.
And that's that's an important statement. Because when it's open like that and everybody knows that it's open, it will become the directory.
Yeah, whoever owns the default directory of podcasting owns a significant power within podcasting itself, and so it has to be spread out.
Yeah.
It has to.
And right now, we have power.
No, the power we're trying to give it away as fast as possible.
Yeah, we're trying to get rid of that power. Exactly.
$500.
Woo! Hold on.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Wow.
From Pete Warden. He says,
Pete? I don't think I've ever heard of Pete. Have you heard of Pete?
I don't know Pete. He just says, it just came out of the blue, and he says, thanks for the great service, and that's all he says.
Well, let's defragment him.
You've been defragmented.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Pete. Appreciate that. We've got, guess who this is? $200 from John Spurlock.
Whoa! Hello, John Spurlock.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Did he have a note?
He says, thanks for rerunning those Omni feeds. Take those crawlers out for a nice dinner.
Hey,
crawling to dinner.
Spurlock, I think your note is broken. Whatever.
Lightning note?
Yeah, payment. The Comic Strip Blogger said there were three red payments, and one of them was his boost chapter thingy, Mabob.
Oh, that's not good. No. Because that thing's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Okay, well, we've got, and $200 from Oscar Mary.
Baller! I'm just kidding, the ballers here today. On the Impala.
Thank you, Oscar, and thank you for making payments great again.
Baller, baller, baller.
Baller.
And we've got Podverse. Mitch and the boys at Podverse, $50.
Yeah, thank we'll you, give Mitch. You a big boost. Thank you.
Let's see. We've got some boostergrams somewhere.
I noticed, by the way, I've been running Albie Hub on my Start 9. Mm-hmm. And so, I've listened to all my shows. I always stream 200 sats a minute to everybody. And I went in and looked at Podcast Guru. I'd look at Podcast Guru. I was like, all these payments have failed. So what's going on? Because I stream to Power, Pod News, to This Week in Bitcoin. And I'd rebooted my node, but you have to manually unlock your Albie Hub.
Oh no!
Yeah,
and so you've been streaming with nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Well, there is an auto unlock which I found, which is cool. But I was not aware of that. So sorry.
Is it the webhook thing?
No, it's not a webhook thing. It's in the console on your node.
You know, I have that balance of Satoshi's daily report for our node, and it just stopped working a couple of days ago.
I just got an empty message.
and it even does that on the console. Huh. I don't know what's wrong. Mm. So I've got to figure out. Mm. And I tried to run it without redirecting the output and just use like a verbose switch, and it just gives me nothing. It's just like it's completely blank.
Mm.
Wow. I don't know. It's pulling boosts okay, but it's just not.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I don't know how to get in. Can you you could pull up like Ride the Lightning or something and check the node and just make sure it's okay.
Our node?
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to do
that
right
now?
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking. Yeah, I'm talking about the podcast index node. I'll read some boosts.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but sure. Node. On voltage, you mean, yeah?
Yeah,
on
voltage.
Yeah, okay, right. Hold on. Let me check, man. Let me get in there. Okay. Adam Curry. All right. Lightning nodes to podcast index. It says running.
Mm-hmm.
An update to your node is available. Nope.
Let's not do that.
Hard no.
Can you ride the lightning it and see if, and like, just check it?
I can try ride the lightning or Thunder Hub. They have Thunder Hub. It usually crashes. Our node, Thunder Hub was not meant for the girth of our node.
The girth.
it's provisioning. It's provisioning. All right.
I almost got scammed, by the way, by a fake Alex Bosworth.
Oh wow.
Oh, I didn't tell you this. So
no. You almost logged into the node by giving them our password?
No, nothing like that. It didn't get that far. But what happened was I was trying to export our transactions for taxes and stuff to the to a spreadsheet like I do every year around this time. And, it takes days to export out of Balance of Satoshis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Balance of Satoshis kept giving me an error about an hour into the export. And so last year, this same thing happened, and I got on to the Telegram channel for a balance of Satoshi support. And I said, hey, here's the error I'm getting. It was a node memory error. I was like, here's an error I'm getting. Can, you know, what should I do? And Alex Bosworth responded, and he said, try doing this. He gave me something to try and rerun the command. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And so I did that. And then like 2 seconds later, he DMs me on a private chat and says,
ooh,
did that work?
Ooh.
And said, he said, did that work?
Ooh, dangerous.
And I was like, I don't know. It's still running. And so
Telegram DMs.
Yeah. So it's still running. And he's like, okay, just let me know if it works. I was like, okay. So then about 30 minutes later, he's like, did it finish or is it still running? And I was like, it's still running. And I was like, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I messaged him back and I was like, okay, it's done. And he's like, did you get an error? And I'm like, no. So he's going along with this tech support. And then at some point he's like, do you have a cryptocurrency wallet you can attach to this node? And I was like, what? Cryptocurrency wallet? I was like, what? And I'm so far into this at this point, like mentally, it doesn't even compute. I'm like, what do you mean cryptocurrency wallet? He's like, I can suggest a wallet if you want. And I was like, and then it hit me.
Red alert, yeah. Red alert.
I was like, LOL, nice try, delete.
So I couldn't connect with Thunderhub. It crashed right away. So I connected with Zeus, and we are receiving streaming sats.
I just don't know why the balance of Satoshi's command
was there an upgrade to Boss? Was there a software update because it may be incompatible with our version?
That may be true
since we're behind one. But if I update our node, like we're offline for 5 hours.
Yeah, it may be. I don't know.
I'll ask. what's our buddy's name over there?
Graham.
Graham. I'll ask him about the update.
Yeah. we've got Gene Bean, 1337 sats, 1337 through Castmatic. He says, "This is just cool. I'm in Ghent, Belgium for a conference listening to Podcasting 2.0 in Castomatic and sending sats via my Albi Hub at my house in Georgia."
Nice.
"In the U.S. by way of Telscale Tunnel." It has to a VPS in Ashburn, Virginia. Just like nice. I would on a normal day in Georgia. No borders or exchange rates are getting in the way.
Beautiful. Beautiful. It does work. That's awesome. It does work.
Satchel Richard from Rascal Art 1111 sends through Podverse. He says, "Cheers. Appreciate the info." I don't know what info we gave him.
It's something good. It was cheers worthy.
Yeah. Salty Crayon 2222 Row of Ducks through Podcast Guru. He said, "Howdy boardroom. Had to relook at the date. Hasn't been a boardroom meeting since January 31st. That's we skipped.
Correct. Right. Yes, we're bad.
Unfortunately, missing this one due to a road trip. Welcome back in the pipe. And then we got the Delimiter comic strip blogger 15515 through Fountain. He said, "That's a quadfecta." 15515. We got.
Yeah, yes.
No. We got Castomatic, Podverse, Podcast Guru, and Fountain.
Nice.
4 boosts from 4 different apps.
Nice.
Comic strip blogger says, "Howdy, Dave and Adam. Firstly, congrats to Adam on huge life achievement, scoring another Joe Rogan experience this week."
Huge even life achievement unlocked.
It's huge. It is huge. "Even though Adam's parlor trick slur deeply offended our AI overlord." "Secondly, Joe is Texan now, and I'd like to recommend a Brill podcast, www.justtwogoodoldboys.com.
There you go.
Made in Texas by Gene and Ben. They talk tech, hoes, and guns." Yo, CSB.
Oh, thank you, CSB. Yes.
Tech, hose, and guns. That's the tagline.
That's what you need.
Yep. Let's see what we got. We got some monthlies. We got Chad Farrow, Chad F, $20.22. Cameron Rose, $25. Kevin nice. Bay, $5. Mark Graham, $1. Martin Lindeskog, $1. Pod Page, Brendan, $25. Yep. Randall Black, $5. Joseph Maraca, $5. Basil Phillip, $25. And then there's Lauren Ball, $24.20.
Wow. Good week. Well, it's 2 weeks, really, but good, mm-hmm. good 2 weeks. Thank you all so much. Thank you for supporting.
No, we got more. That's what? Only half the list.
What?
Mitch Downey, $10.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Christopher Harabarek.
Oh, no.
Christopher Harabarek, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Silicone Florist, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Damon Kasajak, $15. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Derek J. Visker, the best name in podcasting, $21. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. And Jeremy Gerds, $5.
Thank you all for supporting podcastindex.org. And we are always happy to do this. We're happy to be a part of the group. And it keeps everything running until we can get rid of ourselves. It's the best crowdfunding scheme ever.
Put
ourselves out of business. That's how we want to roll. Thank you all so much. Really appreciate that. Go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you can see a big red donate button. You hit that to send us fiat fun coupons. Or, of course, you can just boost us. You can always send a Bitcoin on chain. We'll accept that. Do we have a Bitcoin address? I don't know if we have a Bitcoin address for someone, some rich person, some sugar daddy.
The node, right? The node address.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you could get it off Amboss, right?
Let me see. Do we have
or something like that?
I don't think we have anything. Let me see. PayPal, donate. Donate. What's the big donate podcast? It's the PayPal. I'll have to put something up there. Anyway, thank y'all. We appreciate that. And wow, what a difference from 2 weeks ago when people were like, you only talk about AI. And what did we talk about today? We talked about decentralizing the index and philosophy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. You're a beautiful man, Dave Jones.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes, you are.
I'm humbled.
Hey, Boardroom, thank you very much. We'll be back next week and looking forward to it. We will continue this discussion and many more all about podcasting 2.0. See you then, everybody.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Eat my shorts, AI.